This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. Hope you're all well. Welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast on this Wednesday, the 20th of November. Dave Kellner in the studio with Mike Grenham on the line. We're going to look ahead to a couple of events this week, the South African Open and the ISPS Handa World Cup of Golf. Mike, first of all, good morning. How are you?
Good form, Dave. Once again, I'm spared your presence. It's just a phone line, but I'll battle on.
Good stuff. I suppose we better start with Henrik Stenson, first of all, Mike. Incredible performance in the DP World Tour Championship, recording a winning total of 25 under par, ranked first in driving accuracy on the week, first in greens in regulation, hitting a whopping 94.4%, and just the best player in the world right now, Mike.
Well, that's debatable, Dave, isn't it?
Because him and Scott, yeah.
Yes, Adam Scott's supporters could easily argue the case on that one, as he is a major winner. But I'd probably say you're right, I think we were both concerned last week about Stenson's wrist injury, weren't we? And it was certainly the thing that put me off, because otherwise he certainly has the game and loves playing in Dubai. I don't know whether, I think we discussed it, didn't we? I don't know whether that was your view, but I just thought, is he tired and injured at the end of the season? And much to the reverse, his stats are amazing and he's playing brilliantly. And I just wish he'd won the Open this year and I'd backed him at 66-1 rather than all these tournaments at the back end. Finished second, obviously, behind Mickelson, but that was the start of possibly the 2 or 3 weeks before that of what has been a superb run for the Swede. He is probably playing better than anyone, I would agree.
I've got similar sentiments as far as Stenson's concerned, because picked him in the Players' Championship where he got placed at a big price, and he's just been so impressive at the back end of the season. All the more impressive when you consider that he was world number 230 in May 2012. He's now world number 3. His caddy is even buying Ferraris now, Mike. That's how much cash.
Is that right, Dave?
That is correct.
I heard that story. Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it? That's a very good start, Dave. So only 18 months ago, he was 230 in the world.
Yeah.
Quite a remarkable turnaround for Henrik, who obviously had masses of ability several years ago and then had this terrible blip. But it just shows that you can come back. Lee Westwood did something similar, and there have been other players as well. But Henrik's is certainly one of the more remarkable comebacks, and he seems to have really got his head in the right place, which I think was possibly the key, because his ball striking is superb.
Oh, he can hit that 3-wood further than most professionals in the game of golf. That gives him such an advantage, and he seems to just hit it so accurately all the time, the 3-wood as well.
Very controlled. Yeah, he was superb at the weekend and really demolished what was a very good field. Ian Poulter gave chase. De Bruys on played ever so well again. Real great end to the season for him. And you tipped Youse Loughton, didn't you, Dave?
Yeah.
Was fourth. What price was he?
He was 50-1, which
good
was nice.
Good each way call for you there. Excellent work. My tips in the DP event weren't quite as successful. There were 56 players in the event, Dave, and my three players finished 51st, 52nd, and 54th out of 56. So after a little bit of back-patting last week on the Chris Kirk must-do betters in the report card this week for me, but well done you.
I appreciate that. I wasn't ever going to mention the guys that you picked last week. And I think
I don't think I've ever done as bad as that in the tournament, Dave. Three out of the bottom six in the tournament were my picks, which is pretty atrocious, but hey-ho. I guess I must have lost another free lunch bet as well, haven't I?
You have. I think we're going to have to develop some sort of repayment structure as far as these free lunches are going at the moment.
Who did you pick against? You line, I think I picked, didn't I?
Yeah, it was Olesen.
Oh, right, yeah.
Olesen,
yeah.
He finished mid-pack in the end, right. Torbjørn Olesen. Just on Stenson, one final word on Stenson as well. he really got his breakthrough in this event that we're going to cover last year, the South African Open, which he's unfortunately not defending this year, given his bad wrist. But it did all start for Stenson in the, because he'd gone such a long time without a win, and then won this South African Open last year.
Yeah.
We'll get onto that tournament in a second. But stateside, Harris English got his second win of the season in the Mayakoba, and scoring was probably a lot lower, Mike, certainly than I anticipated due to the wet weather. And here's a stat for you. Harris English and Rory McIlroy are now the only two current golfers under the age of 25 with at least two PGA Tour wins. So Harris English really vaulting his way into that top echelon of the game now.
Yeah. He was just a bit short in the betting, but he definitely looked a good fit for last week's event, and he's a very good young player. He's one of a real emerging crop of good American players, young players who are coming through at the moment, and he's one of the best of them. So, you know, with the likes of Jordan Spieth and others, they've got a really good hand developing there, haven't they? I have to say it was a slightly frustrating event in that I had one of my guys I mentioned, Dave, Justin Lennon, finished sixth. I actually backed him each way. I didn't put him up as one of my three tips, but I didn't give him a big mention. The deadly sixth place for each way bets at 200-1, so that was a bit frustrating. But Harris English played ever so well on the final day. Robert Council will be disappointed with his final day performance, in contrast to his compatriot Stenson. Carlson didn't really get the job done, did he?
No, I think you're right. He will be disappointed. And I did see Justin Leonard just creeping up that leaderboard throughout the course of the week. And I was thinking, has Mike backed him? I know you gave him a strong mention on the podcast, and unfortunate that he just missed out on a place, Justin Leonard. But as you said, on a golf course like that, you've got to be looking at the veteran golfers, and Justin Leonard not done with yet as far as PGA Tour golf is concerned.
No, he just shows, Stenson's come back and just shows, once these guys have got so much ability at the top end, if they're good enough to win majors or contend in majors, they've got masses of ability, and if they can get their head straight and if they get back in form, they can definitely compete at the top end. We've seen it time and time again with different players. And actually, just going back to your comment there, very, very encouraging for English that he was able to win at a course that really does suit the experienced player.
Yeah.
It almost more power to his elbow there. The fact that he was able to do that just shows how talented he is.
Let's have a look at this week then. We've got two events that we're going to look at. There's also the Dunlop Phoenix, in which Luke Donald's favourite. But we're going to have a look at the South African Open and the World Cup of Golf. And we'll start off with the South African Open. 1 week after the end of the 2013 European season, the 2014 season begins. And this event has been co-sanctioned by the European Tour since 1997. It used to be held at Durban Country Club before moving to Serengeti Golf Club. And now, for the first time in the tournament's history, it's moved to Glendower Golf Club. And the real form line comes through the BMG Classic on the Sunshine Tour, because this course has hosted that event since 2009. And actually, Graham Delatt won the BMG Classic on this golf course in 2009. They haven't hosted the South African Open since 1997. Henrik Stenson was due to defend his title this week. He's withdrawn to protect his sore wrist, and that leaves Charles Schwartzel at the top of the betting. Schwartzel 7-2, Ross Fisher's 11-1, Henny Otto 20-1, Darren Fickart and Justin Walters both 25s, Paul Waring is 28-1, and it's 33s and bigger the rest. Mike, it's tough to know exactly what type of player is suited to the course, but as with a lot of these events in South Africa, scoring pretty much guaranteed to be low. The pros will be intent, Mike, on ripping this golf course apart.
Yes, you'd say so, Dave, wouldn't you? That's what the BMG scores are always pretty decent. I'd expect South Africans to feature, you know, very, very heavily on the final leaderboard. It's different for the European guys coming over, different type of grass they're playing on, not as familiar with the course. Glendower has clearly been used for a lot of events over the years in South Africa. Not for this one for a long time, but in others. Add that to the kind of altitude that they're playing at, and it's got to be more familiar to the locals than the European Raiders, one would suggest.
It is tough, isn't it? Because they're playing on that Kikuyu grass as well, which it's difficult for inexperienced professionals to understand how the ball will react on that type of surface. So, as you mentioned, I've personally looked at I've gone for a couple of South Africans in the event.
Me too. I've gone for one South African. I nearly did another, but the price just put me off. So I'll let you go first.
I'm sticking with the guy. This might be the guy that you were thinking about picking. I'm going with Henny Otto.
Yeah, he was, Dave. Yeah. The price put me off, to be fair.
I was happy yesterday when I previewed the event and obviously studying the event. And he was 25-1, and I thought that was fair. And I was happy at that price. I'm still sticking with him, even though he has been trimmed this morning. He has been tipped by Steve Palmer in the Racing Post, an influential tipster in the UK. And his price has contracted, but I'm sticking with him. 20-1, Henny Otto, a guy that you've picked. Well, you picked in the Alfred Dunhill, Mike, where he finished 12th, and since then he's gone
double
on
double bogey late on to another place, Dave. Heartbreaking that one was, because he was a big price.
He was. Not such a big price this week, but got solid credentials since that 12th in the Alfred Dunhill. He's finished 6th in Portugal. Second in the BMG Classic, played at this golf course just 3 weeks ago. Then third in the Line of Africa, Cape Town Open. I think maybe he's mellowing, Mike, do you think? Because he's a human volcano, isn't he? He has been in the past.
I think to be fair to Henny, those videos that are on YouTube tend to get brought up a lot, and it's quite a while since he was that volatile. I think he's still got it in him, no doubt about it. But I don't have as much concerns on that as other people do. I think he's learned to play a little bit more. He's mellowed as he's grown older, and I haven't seen a lot of evidence or heard of a lot of evidence of that in the last 2 or 3 years. So, and you know, he's a guy who's got a couple of European Tour wins to his name. So he's no mug by any means. Won this event a couple of years ago, didn't he, when I think it was Bernd Wiesberger that he saw. So, yeah, I thought long and hard about Henny. It was just a 20-1 I saw this morning. Made my interest wane a little bit.
Yeah, I'm going to point each way on Henny Otto. He's driven the ball almost better than he's ever done this season, and it's his second best putting year on tour to boot as well. And as we've just referenced, you need to go low at this event this week. So Henny Otto the pick. I think he opened up 28-1. He has been backed into 20-1 here with Hills, which I'm the first to admit, Mike, the price isn't necessarily that attractive, but when I went through the event yesterday, I went for Otto, and I'm going to stick to my guns as far as he's concerned. So he's my first pick, Mike. Have you only got one pick in the event?
I've only got one pick, Dave. I've gone for a South African as well. I'm hoping that if the scores are really, really low, it could be slightly troublesome for my one pick. I have a second mention as well that's almost a pick. But my guy here is a good greens and regulation guy. A player who always gets good accuracy scores on the European Tour. I'm slightly worried about his putting, which is where I was trying to say. He'll need to putt well this week, because if it's very low, obviously you need to putt well, it goes without saying, doesn't it? But nevertheless, I'm going to give Thomas Aitken a go here. I just think he's a class above most of these players. A proper first-rate South African player rather than a kind of journeyman, although that's not a very fair description of a lot of these players. They're all talented professionals, clearly, but they're not at the same level as the likes of Schwartzel, Otto, Van Zyl and Aitken, let alone the guys who aren't here, like Grace and Curtsy. But I do think Aitken is around and about that kind of standard, and at 42-1 he just appeals to me as a decent each way bet. He's been third in this event the last twice he's entered it, obviously on different courses. He's in pretty decent form on the European Tour. Admittedly, he was only 55th out of 56 in the DP event last week. I could have picked him. He was that bad. But the week before was 15th in Turkey in what was a very good event with Tiger and the likes of a really good field there. I just think he won on the European Tour this year, which most of these fellas couldn't do. And I'm just hoping if he gets his putting back home, where I do feel he puts a lot better in South Africa. I'm just hoping that he'll be up for this event. Obviously, like so many of the others, it's his national open. But Thomas Aitken, I think, is too good in this field to be a 40-1 chance. So whilst I respect the favourite, Schwartzel, I'm going to go Thomas Aitken each way.
Thomas Aitken, 40-1 in the betting. Thomas Aitken, 40-1. Mike, just before I mention my second selection, you mentioned the absence of Kaseya and Grace, who have decided to play the World Cup of Golf this week. It's lost a little bit of its lustre, hasn't it, the South African Open Championship? I always remembered it as an event where all the top South Africans deigned to play in the tournament. It's not quite worked out this year.
No, Ernie Els is not here, for example, is he? Richard Stern is not here. I think you can forgive Curtsy and Grace because they're representing your country in a World Cup.
Yeah.
It should be something that, you know, is a higher accolade than just playing in your national open, I guess. But there are some of the others that you'd be surprised that they weren't here. I'm sure you're right there.
Mm. I'm taking a real flyer with my second selection here. I'm going for Warren Avery as my second pick at 250-1. He's been around for years, Avery. Turned pro in 1997, and he's had a largely disappointing season on the 2013 Sunshine Tour. But recent performances have suggested he's playing slightly better golf right now. He was sixth here in the BMG Classic a few weeks ago. Ninth in the Nedbank Affinity Cup on his most recent start. And you look back through his record on this golf course, it's reasonable. Finished 15th here in 2009, 21st here in 2012, and as I've just mentioned, 6th on his most recent start. His record here, reasonable. And he was best, as far as I was concerned, of those at the really big prices. And he said his greatest ambition is to win a European Tour event in his native land. If he's to win one, it's got to be one like this, where the best players don't turn up. And Warren Avery, a bit of a flyer on him. I'll have half a point each way at 250-1 as my second and final selection. Journeyman. He is a journeyman.
Well, fair play. That's a good one, that, Dave. The only other player I was near to picking,
yep,
was a guy who's done good things for me this season on the Champions Tour. I just think David Frost has been in such compelling form all season in America, which the standard there of the Champions Tour is probably, it's hard to equate really, but I think it matches this kind of level quite well. I think, you know, a lot of the good Champions Tour players would acquit themselves well in this event, in truth. So I'm not sure he can win, but David Foster, 125-1, did catch my eye, I have to say. I might have a little favour on him. Mm. He's a superb putter, which will be, and tends to do well on the Champions Tour in events where the scoring is low. So he certainly, if he can be more accurate off the tee and with his ball striking this week, that could be an issue for him. But if he can hit the greens and fairways, he'd give a good account of himself at that price, I have to say. He's had a real stellar year on the Champions Tour, and he's very fit for his age. I was reading something the other day where he goes to the gym every day for a couple of hours, which is obviously admirable for a man of his age. So he's clearly
it's admirable for a man of my age.
Any age. It surprised me a little bit. He literally goes every day for twice for a combined kind of 2 hours. So he's certainly, I knew he was fit, but he's probably even more focused than I thought. So he just caught my eye, someone who could maybe look for a top 10 finish for David Frost.
Yeah, there were a few players that definitely caught my eye. Alejandro Canizares. He's been superb in the European Tour end of series events. Finished 18th in Turkey, 14th went right in the mix through 2.5 rounds in the World Tour Championship last week. This is a drop in class for him, but he hasn't played here before, hasn't got experience of South African golf, so 33-1, maybe just a little bit too short. And Michael Hoey, interesting, isn't he? 66-1. This is a guy that's won 4 times on the European Tour. This is a real drop in class for him, Michael Hoey, and he can spring up out of nowhere, can't he? And 66-1 for a guy like him, interesting, I thought.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, as we said before on the podcast, we've discussed him a couple of times. He's either brilliant or nowhere. If he's on his brilliant best, 80-1 or 66 or whatever he is would look massive for him, because at his best, he's right up there.
Yeah, and Mark had said our compiler, he's going to plump for Merrick Bremner at 66-1 this week. He's slightly annoyed that this tournament is made to go head-to-head against the World Cup. It's got a lot of history, and it also means a couple of the home players missed their National Open. Plus, I enjoy the events from South Africa, and he's going with Merrick Bremner. At 66-1.
I can see that. Dave Bremner would certainly have a call here, as would the likes of JB Kruger and Titch Moore, who are kind of solid, experienced pros who could well feature in the top 10 here. Yeah, I can see the Bremner pick.
Mm. Shall we move on?
Why not?
Yeah, let's have a look at the ISPS Handa World Cup of Golf. Adam Scott is the 3-1 favourite. Jason Day 7-1. Matt Kuchar is in the betting at 7-1. Graham McDowell 14s. Bernd Wiesberger 20-1. It's 25-1. Peter Hansen, and it's bigger prices the rest. And the first thing we need to mention, Mike, here is that the structure of the tournament has most definitely changed. From 1954 to 1999, the format was 72 holes of stroke play. But beginning in 2000, the format became alternating stroke play rounds of four ball and foursomes. It's changed this year. From this year, I don't know if it is going to stay this way moving forward, but it's become primarily an individual competition as opposed to a team competition, Mike, with...
It's nonsense, isn't it, Dave?
Yeah, it's nonsense.
It's an absolute... I just don't understand it at all. We've got week after week of stroke play events for individuals on every tour, and the only USP that this event had was that it was a World Cup. It was about the countries, about the nationality, something a bit different. Yeah. And I just think they've got the balance totally wrong. I can appreciate that why not reward the individual who plays brilliantly, particularly if it's someone like, say, Vijay Singh, who's from Fiji and probably couldn't get a partner good enough to play for the actual country title. Mm. But really, yeah, I just think they've got it totally wrong. And for me, I'm going to still have my main bet in the country market as a protest.
I'm going with... I've just got one selection, and it comes in the... in the individual market. There is still that team element with 26 two-man teams and eight individual golfers, but they're vying for an $8 million prize fund now. Only $1 million, I say only $1 million, but it's a small part of it that goes to the team winner. It's a token gesture now, isn't it? It's a nonsense.
It is. It's an utter nonsense. I absolutely, totally disagree with it. But there you go.
We're playing the golf tournament. That's the Royal Wee at Royal Melbourne Golf Club, which hosted last week's Australian Masters. Adam Scott won
that.
That
doesn't make sense either, does it? And let's be clear, the Talisker Masters were on this very course last week. Who's organising this?
I've no idea. But Adam Scott won it last week, and he's partnering up with Jason Day. Australia 6-4 in the winning team market, head the betting. USA 13-2, Ireland 10-1, Italy and Sweden both 12s, Denmark and France and South Africa 16s, and it's 20s bar. So how are you playing it, Mike?
I'm having a bet in the nationality, Dave. There was a couple of nationalities that appealed, one in particular, I think a decent each way bet, and that's it.
Okay, I'm having just one bet in the individual market. I'll let you go first, Mike.
Well, Australia are favourites, very strong favourites, because Adam Scott is playing so well. And Jason Day is his partner. It'll be interesting to see how Day plays, though, given the tragedy in the Philippines with his relatives, where eight of them have so tragically perished. It's difficult to know how that will affect any person. And, you know, but whilst my thoughts are with Jason Day, I don't know how easy it's going to be to concentrate on you know, the game of golf when there are so many other things on your mind. So the very short price that they're available at doesn't appeal to me, I have to say. So I'll be looking elsewhere for the bet on the World Cup of Golf. And my pin falls upon Ireland, who I think have got a very strong team this year, who will definitely be focused on winning the team event. I think it's important to them to win it. Graham McDowell and Shane Lowry are their partnership for Ireland. Both in solid form over the last few months. Both will be desperate to get a win for Ireland. I think it's the last time that they won the World Cup of Golf was 97 when Harrington and McGinley played. But McDowell is a very good greens in regulation player, third in the HSBC just a couple of weeks ago, top 20 in Dubai. Lowry's form in recent weeks has been solid, not quite as spectacular as McDowell's perhaps, but top 25 in the BMW, third in the Alfred Dunhill a little while ago, and then kind of around the top 40 in the last two events in Turkey and Dubai. Both good greens in regulation player, which I think is going to be very important on this tough track. It's a tough course. I think the crane will rise to the top here. You've got to be really good players to feature. I think some of these lesser players might struggle. And each way at 10-1 Ireland to finish in the top four, I'll be surprised if they're not in the top four. So I think it's a very sporting each way bet at 10-1.
Nice. Ireland at 10-1 in the winning team market. I'm going with an old favourite. Peter Hansen is my selection in the individual market here at 25-1. He's come back from his back injury pretty positively, finishing 8th in the BMW, 21st in the HSBC, and last week, really good performance to finish 10th in the Tour Championship. I think the key to succeeding on this golf course is putting, and he's one of the best putters in the world, in my opinion. Always a positive at this venue with large undulating greens. It is a quality golf course, Royal Melbourne. And to back up his chance as well, he finished 4th at the course way back in 2004 when the Heineken Classic was here. Finished 4th here, Peter Hansen. So he does have experience at Royal Melbourne as well. Another positive, in my opinion, is that because he missed a large portion of the season, he's coming into this event fresher than most golfers as well. So 25-1, Peter Hansen, a point each way in the outright market, quarter the odds, 1, 2, 3, and 4 in the World Cup. The World Cup, in inverted commas, the World Cup of golf.
Yeah, no, I get that one totally, Dave, because the team that I was probably second behind Ireland in picking, well, certainly were in fact Sweden. His partner, Blixt, might not be suited to this track, you know, where you've got to be accurate and there is danger, does abound. But he's such a good player that I thought him and Hansen could be a good partnership in this event. Albeit that they don't play together anymore, do they?
it's just,
which is ludicrous, isn't it, really? But they've split all the players up in this madness that they've decided on this year. So I can see Sweden. I also thought France must have a chance given, you know, if we're looking for each way bets. I was looking to oppose Australia and the USA just for a bit of each way value. France, you would expect with De Buisson and Bourdie playing pretty well, De Buisson in particular, but they were just a little bit short in the market. So I'd expect of the two market leaders, it wouldn't surprise me if America performed better than Australia, funnily enough.
Yeah, I think that as well.
Scott's coming off the back of two wins. Day we've talked about. Whereas Kuchar was second here to Scott of the weekend at this course. Obviously suited by it. And Streelman should give a good account as well. And America have a fantastic record in the World Cup of Golf. So the two favourites there were the ones that I was more worried by, to be fair.
Streelman's probably a little bit underrated still as well, Mike, I think.
Yeah, I think he could play well this week. He could actually be an interesting choice for the top individual, because Americans, as I said, do very well in this event, won it a host of times, and to see one of their number out at 50-1, you know, with players who probably aren't as good as him, possibly some of them there around him, I don't know. He could be an interesting outsider. DJ Singh, I think, was third here at the weekend, wasn't he? He might even run well at 40-1 for each way backers. But yes, I think America were aren't the worst price in the world at 13-2. There will be plenty of people who would advocate that as an each-way bet to nothing, I guess.
Yeah, I agree. We better round this off with a congratulations to Ashley Burton as well for winning the 2013 edition of Golf Twitter Tipster. £500 free bet. Ashley Burton with an incredible season to a level pound stake, £538.25 in profit. He wins the 2013 Golf Twitter Tipster and the 2014 season of Golf Twitter Tipster will start with the Hyundai Tournament of Champions in the new year. The PGA Tour season taking a 6-week break now until the next event, and that's when we'll start the 2014 Golf Twitter Tipster. Thanks again to Sean Robson, Keith Horridge and Paul Sexton, Paul from Retford, for running that competition, and that'll be back in 2014.
Yeah, fantastic by Ashley, £538 up. I mean, look at poor Sean Cooper in second place. Yeah. £436 up for a pound level, each way level stake over the season, and he doesn't win. Someone said to you before the event, you can have £436 up now, you'd be thinking you were 10 to 1 on to win it, wouldn't you?
Yeah, precisely.
Remarkable performance by a number of people. You know, three guys over £400, somewhere in the region of seven over £300. Really, really fantastic selections. But you have to say that Ashley Burton's run over the last couple of months has been breathtaking, and he won the November Flip prize, I think, to rub salt in the wound of his closest competitors. A fantastic effort.
Mike, do you want to just recap your picks and then we'll get your player you don't want to win this week?
It's not a long list this week. It's Thomas Aitken. I'll have a point each way on him at 40s in the South African Open, and Ireland in the team event in the World Cup of Golf. They'd be my two main bets.
And would you go each way on Ireland in that?
Oh, most certainly, yeah. Yes. Absolutely, because you've got Australia and USA who are very strong, so I'd be very hopeful Ireland will be there or thereabouts and can definitely win this event. Let's not be mistaken, this is not just an each way event for the players part of it. I do think that McDowell and Lowry will be strong contenders.
I'm going with a couple of picks in South Africa. A point each way on Henny Otter, despite the price, 20-1, and half a point each way on Warren Avery at a sporting 250-1. And in the World Cup of Golf, a point each way, Peter Hansen at 25-1 is my selection. Mike, who's the guy you don't want to win this week?
Well, it probably is Henny Otter. Yeah. But no, I want him to win for you. Did that sound believable?
Just about.
I was close to him, so he'd be one of the players. But other than that, I didn't think there was anyone else that I'd be devastated if they won. So
no.
Let's see how it goes. Be interesting to see how both events turn out. And I'll be focusing on the team event. I'm not interested in that individual nonsense in the World Cup.
The point is they've completely ruined the team aspect of it, haven't they?
They're trying to.
Unfathomable what they're doing, but they're working their way towards Rio 2016, which will be individuals competing, and then they'll get their medal for their country, basically, which will be an individual event. The guy I don't want to win anyway is Alejandro Canizares, I think. I think if he had a little bit of form in South Africa, I'd be tempted by him because he's playing outstanding golf at the moment. That about wraps us up, Mike.
Okay, Dave.
I think we should... Shall we park the Free Lunch Monday bet for this week?
Yes, because I'm losing them all at the moment. I'd be quite keen to do that.
You can follow us on Twitter, at D Kellner and at M Grenham. We'll be back for more golf next week. It's been a pleasure. Thanks for listening to the podcast, folks, and we'll speak soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.